Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening. Wherever you may be tuned in across good old U.S. of A., the cold early March U.S. of A., I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Our newsman here, and Dr. Ray Pritchard, Ray's in K.C. That'd be Kansas City, Kansas. You still there?
I'm still there. It's all good. By the way, Tim, you do know what today is, don't you?
March the 5th?
Yeah, it's Fat Tuesday. Are you going to do something to celebrate?
I don't think that's PC anymore.
Fat Tuesday.
You're shaming a holiday.
I meant to praise a holiday.
Well,
I meant to encourage the observance.
You need to call it like Lent. Big Boned. Tuesday
curvy,
or something.
Curvy Tuesday.
Curvy Tuesday or plus size Tuesday.
PC has come to today's issues.
Oh, man.
Blurted out Fat Tuesday. I think they've changed. You know, at Chattanooga, they got Ruby Falls and Batman Squeeze. They used to. But I think they changed that.
That's right.
I think it's plus size squeeze now. You can walk through there. You know what I'm talking about, Ray?
I do. I've been there. Been to Ruby Falls, right. Fat Man Squeeze.
There's Lookout Mountain, and I think it's called Lookout Mountain there.
Right. And Ruby Falls.
And Ruby Falls. Ruby's still falling, my dad used to say. After we'd been there once, we wouldn't fall for it again, so to speak.
Your dad had dad jokes.
Yeah.
That surprises me, actually.
Hey, it was a nice place, you know, nice place to visit on vacation once or twice. But, you know, after that, you learn what tourist traps are. All right, so we're going to much to talk about on the program this last half hour. We have with us now, we're thankful to have with us, Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi. Lieutenant Governor Reeves is also a candidate for governor, which will be decided in November in the Magnolia State. He joins us from the state capital of Jackson. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, Tim, and everyone. I hope you're all doing well today, and I hope you all are staying warm. It's tough in Jackson today to stay warm.
Yeah, I know. It's unusually cold. I don't know what happened. We were saying we don't know what happened to global warming, but we wish it would hurry up and get here. You know, I'm ready to golf, man. I'm ready for some green grass.
I like springtime weather in the spring, not wintertime weather in the spring. That's not good.
There you go. You know what's so funny about that? By the way, how long do you have? You got 10 minutes with us?
I've got 10 minutes, sure.
Okay. It's so funny because football weather we think of as cold, right? But in early September, at least in the South, everybody's sweating, you know, and you're going like, this is baseball weather, and we're watching a football game. Then when baseball starts in the middle of February, everybody goes, this is football weather, and we're out here watching a baseball game. So, I don't know, such is life, I guess.
It is.
Let me ask you this. By the way, you're still running for governor, right?
I am still running for governor, absolutely. It's, you know, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, which is focus on my current job, which is serving the people of Mississippi as lieutenant governor. So we've got about 30 more days left in this legislative session. Today is Fat Tuesday, but more importantly for our terms, today is a deadline day in the Mississippi Capitol. So we have a deadline by midnight tonight to get certain bills off the out of committee, the bills that originated in the other chamber. And so lots of activity going on in the Mississippi Capitol today.
I want to ask you about that. But first of all, I want you to comment because a couple of years ago, there was a law passed in Mississippi called HB 1523. And it was basically a religious liberty law to protect people of faith from being forced to engage in weddings or use their businesses to do something that violated their conscience, like we've seen around the country in certain places. And there was all this outcry from the left that this is going to harm LGBT people. This was discriminatory against LGBT people. And you and others, the governor, Phil Bryant, were saying, no, this is not intended to be harmful, nor is it going to harm LGBT people. And yet here we are 2 years later, and we can't find anybody to come forth to file a lawsuit against the bill, against the law, that has been harmed. Mm-hmm. So I guess you were right.
Well, I'll tell you, they filed, after we passed the bill, there was this national outcry and this national movement by the left to attack me personally, to attack Governor Bryant, to attack the Mississippi legislators who stood up for religious liberty and religious mm-hmm. freedom. And they immediately filed a lawsuit. And when they filed the lawsuit, it ultimately got to the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit said, no one has been harmed yet, and we will hear the merits of this case once someone files a lawsuit that has actually been harmed by it. And as you just said, Tim, that has been many years ago, and there has been none. What has happened is that Mississippi is recognized as having one of the best and strongest religious freedom bills, one of the best and strongest religious liberty bills, because we believe very strongly here that no governmental entity, no federal government, no state government, no local government should be able to infringe upon your right to practice your religion. We think the Constitution gives us that fundamental right, and in Mississippi, that is the law of the land.
Amen.
Hey, Lieutenant Governor, this is Walker here. Good to hear from you. I want to ask you a
question.
Hey, Walker,
how are you today?
Doing well. This past week, good. President Trump went to CPAC, gave a two-hour speech, like a marathon speech. And one of the things he hit on, and what I wanted to get your thoughts on, is campus free speech. President Trump announced that he's going to sign an executive order basically telling colleges and universities that if you want taxpayer dollars, federal taxpayer dollars that is, then you're going to need to make sure that all students have guaranteed free speech on college campuses. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, thank you for the question. I actually was in Washington, D.C. A couple of Friday nights ago and had the opportunity to hear the president give a he didn't quite speak for two hours on this Friday night, but it was about an hour, 20 hours, 30 minutes. When he gets going.
Yeah.
And the crowd, this was the Republican Governors Association, the crowd was loving what he was saying, and the more you encouraging, the longer he speaks. And I know he was in a room full of supporters and fans at CPAC. I did see that he said that he would be signing that executive order. I'm proud of the president. One of the things that we have seen with President Trump since he has been in office, whether it's in terms of appointing federal judges or many other things, he really told the American people what he was going to do when he ran for office in 2016. And despite the attacks from the left wing and liberal media, he is just going about his business day in and day out doing these things. And so what we've seen on college campuses across America is really concerning. They are in many instances, it is the far left which preaches being inclusive and other things. And what they mean by that is they want to be inclusive to those who believe their far left leanings. But for conservatives to come on campus and say things, they don't like to hear that.
Hmm.
And so I commend the president for being willing to take this extraordinary measure to sign this executive order to require that we're having free speech. I actually saw some more conservative members who have participated and actually run colleges that have worked really hard to ensure that on a few campuses that even if their president is a real hardcore conservative, they let liberals come and speak, and mm-hmm. that's because on campuses you're supposed to give kids and other students the opportunity to think for themselves. But there are so many on the far left that know that if you allow individuals to think for themselves, then they're probably not going to come to the same conclusion yeah. that these far left liberals come to. And so I commend the president.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor Reeves, for being on with us. We appreciate it. And thank you for your stand for religious freedom, freedom of speech on campus, like we're talking about relative to, because there are reports all over the country, not necessarily that many here in our state, in Mississippi, but of conservatives being denied the same, access to free speech as liberals are, and even being discriminated against in many mm-hmm. cases. In Berkeley, they burned buildings over it.
and attacked individuals, literally
yes.
punched him time after time at Berkeley is crazy.
Yes, yes, exactly. So thank you so much for being on with us. We wish you the best and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you all. Y'all have a great afternoon.
Okay. That's Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi. Was there any legislation that's up now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different bills, good conservative bills. One, there's one bill pending on campus free speech in Mississippi, and so that's why I wanted to get the Lieutenant Governor on and get his thoughts.
So if you live in Mississippi, you'll be getting an email from us, right, if you're subscribed to our action alerts.
That's correct.
So you can know more about this bill in the Mississippi State Legislature that supports campus free speech. If you want to sign up for our action alerts being our emails that we send out twice a week, letting you know about issues not in your state, doesn't have to be in Mississippi. We send out issues in about particular states all over the country, as well as national issues. So go to our website, afa.net, and sign up for those action email alerts. And that'll keep you. You know, if you wanted to say, what can I do as a Christian to make a difference in our country? Well, at a minimal, you can vote and you can be informed and you can also know what's going on in the culture. And, you know, no other organization does it any better than we do, I think. There are some great organizations in this country that are pro-family, pro-life, and do great work. But certainly we here at AFA, we make it our job and we take it very seriously to let you know how you can make a difference on issues. So go to afa.net and sign up for those email alerts. Again, we don't bombard you, we don't sell your names to anybody, we give 2 emails a week. Okay, so afa.net. Tim here with Walker and Steve and Ray. Go ahead, Steve.
I wanted to start just with an update on the goings on in southern Alabama with the tornado. They've classified it as an F4, sustained winds. I think they said at 100, well, sustained, the winds were 170 miles an hour, just massive. They have at least 23 people were killed. There's still 7 or 8 people that are missing. All the deceased have been identified, and the 23 victims, the youngest was 6, and the oldest was 93. One family lost 7 people in one family. I talked yesterday with Steve Tiber, our good friend from 8 Days of Hope, and I think as we speak, he and his urgent team, the team that goes in right after
rapid response
team, are on their way to Lee County, Alabama, and they will be there. You will have chances later on this year, if you're interested out there, to join Steve with some rebuilding efforts, some 8-day trips that they take. And they will do 2 or 3 of those probably to help rebuild that place. So already some hope on the way.
Yeah, Ray. Those people didn't have but 7 minutes. I read of warning from the National Weather Service that a tornado, you know, was headed their way. So not much time to get out of the way, and then so many of those folks were in mobile homes and. You got 170 mile an hour winds. You got no. You got no chance.
The pictures, home. The video, it's devastating. And I'm thinking, Tim, 7 minutes. That's the maximum. If you're not tuned in, if you're not online or watching TV at that moment, you're just there, and suddenly everything blows up around you. So I know Samaritan's Purse is already on the ground. Glad 8 Days of Hope is going there because there's going to be a lot of cleanup. And rehab and rebuilding that needs to be done. It's just devastating.
170 mile an hour winds blasting your house or your business. I did see, just to get an idea of the strength of this tornado, I mentioned this yesterday, you had a billboard that, like you see on the highway, and it was carried 20 miles from Alabama across the state line, landed somewhere in, I guess, near Macon or I don't know where it, huh? It was like 20. Can you imagine a billboard being sucked up into a cloud and then being thrown to the ground 20 miles away? That's how powerful and strong this.
The debris from this tornado went 20,000 feet into the air. That's how strong and how far it lifted some of the debris up.
20,000
feet.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
There's an op-ed in the Washington Post today written by Cynthia Nixon. She's a TV star, and she ran for Congress unsuccessfully. She's a lesbian and a progressive activist. And she's taking issue and kind of explaining why she was so upset with Vice President Joe Biden when he called Vice President Mike Pence a decent guy. Do you remember this the other day, Ray? All heck broke loose after he said that that he was a decent guy, that Vice President Pence was a decent guy. So she has written this op-ed in the Washington Post. She calls him a man who has built his career on homophobia and misogyny, and that can't possibly be decent. What has he done? Well, he is for a religious freedom bill, which would have allowed, in their language, LGBTQ discrimination. In our language, would have allowed Christian businesses to exercise their faith in public square.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to lift a ban on needle exchange programs. Pence suggested support for so-called conversion therapy. That's their language.
Right.
Our language is helping people who are struggling with same-sex attraction but want to have a different life, want to go back to a heterosexual life. He ran an article when he was head of the Indiana Policy Review Foundation. That foundation ran an article suggesting that women should have to be married before they obtain birth control. He has said that homosexuality is incompatible with military service. This is why she says he is not decent. And it strikes me that I kind of take all those positions too. And so I guess I'm not decent, which makes me wonder in a world that is controlled by Cynthia Nixon and the like, what's to happen with people of faith?
Mm. Yeah, well, and this shows, you know, we've talked over the years, even before the Supreme Court ruling on quote marriage, that you know, that the left despises Christians and those who disagree with homosexuality, and for that, you know, sexual deviancy in broad, for that matter, transgenderism, etc. But this is on the record. Vice President Pence and those who think like him, which is half of the country, are not decent people. And they honestly, what she's getting is they shouldn't be able to serve in public office. And so it just shows, Ray, the hostility here.
Well, it's pure totalitarianism. It's what happens around the world in totalitarian countries. When you have a dissenting voice, you either re-educate that dissenting voice, or you get rid of them or marginalize them so much that they can't take part in public life. It's a scary road to go down. When you start down that road, you end in a very dark place.
You know, Ray, and you're exactly right, and there's documented cases on this, Ray, where the bakers or the florist or the business owner is given two options. You can either shut down your business or you can go to therapy, basically.
Right.
You can go to re-doctrination camp. And we even saw an NFL player a couple of years ago who posted something about how he disagreed with same-sex marriage or something like that. And the NFL sent him to what they called re-education camp. It's keep your job and go to re-education camp or shut down shop and stop talking in public.
We seem to be seeing this in the government, too. We've seen members of Congress grill some nominees for different things, talking about you know, the dogma living loudly within you, as Dianne Feinstein's remarks. Someone that took on a nominee because he was part of the Knights of Columbus, which is a charitable organization. You've got the judiciary, which is ruling in states like Colorado, where I came from, that you can't discriminate. You have to serve at weddings and everything. Mm. You have the legislative branch of these states, which is passing all these rules, and then you have the executive branch in states like California, where the governor is completely on board with executing these laws that completely marginalize people of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker, Steve, and Ray. Probably the last. We got time for one or two more stories, Steve.
Well, do you want to lighten up a little bit?
Well, I would like another world is ending story before you lighten up.
Okay, world is ending.
Yeah, please.
We have this last, with the 28th of February, what was that, last Friday? Was the what's so-called I Am Jazz, a Jazz and Friends National Day of School and Community Readings, where people went into schools and with kids as young as kindergartners and read books to them. They had the choice under this program of three books. One is I Am Jazz, the story of a young transgender boy who thinks he's a girl based on the real-life experiences of a guy named Jazz Jennings. Julian is a Mermaid, celebration of individuality and the power of being seen as affirmed. And They, She, He, Me, Free to Be, an exploration of pronouns and gender fluidity to kindergartners.
That's pretty well the end of the world story, right?
There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
You wonder where it's coming from, right?
Where is that, Steve? Where was that
again? Around the country. This was an HRC-sponsored event, so they were trying to sign up places all over the country.
Human rights campaign. They're LGBT activists, LGBTQ. They haven't had any letters, have they, last week?
Yeah, I think there's one or two extra letters on the end.
IA, and there's a plus sign.
Yeah, plus sign,
plus,
right.
Which means
LMNOP.
Which means et cetera.
Well, right. The plus sign
more
is probably LMNOP.
And Bingo was his name,
That's
anyway.
Right.
So, all right, Steve. So there, you do have to, in all seriousness, they've got this thing going around the country where these drag queens are coming into libraries reading to children.
Mm-hmm.
Public libraries, Walker, is that right?
That's right. Public libraries across the country. These groups such as the Human Rights Campaign, et cetera, they're bringing in transgender drag queens, which is basically men dressed as women,
right,
to teach kids to read these books.
They're trying to
kids.
Normalize it for the children,
exactly.
So they ask them to read children's stories. Right?
Yes, they're trying to make this appear to be normal behavior for students, for kids. That way, when they grow up, it'll be widely accepted.
Is this
and
going on in schools yet?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Certain schools are bringing
school
in,
districts.
Yes, they're bringing in not only drag queens, they're bringing in these books. And
so people need to be aware of this.
Absolutely. Parents need to know not only who's coming in outside to teach students, but also what materials they're reading.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
There's some good news in the war on terror. You know, we've been hearing from President Trump that ISIS is just about gone. Well, I think they're giving up because ISIS supporters are asked to rally for online jihad. I'm not sure what that is, but I think they're mailing it in now.
Oh, you've been waiting to use that one, haven't you? That was clever. Yeah, so they're mailing their jihad in now.
Yeah.
What is online jihad?
I would guess
that would be like
cyber attacks.
I don't want to minimize the fact that if they take down a
power
computer,
grid or something,
that's serious.
Yeah,
it's
not ISIS stuff. ISIS stuff is not.
But to your point, they're being so destroyed in Syria by our troops and ally troops that they're having to resort to online warfare, if you will, whatever that is, you know.
Yeah, I just wondered what would happen over there when they got through with their caliphate attempt, because you know there's nowhere to go after they start turning on each other, seeing because they chop your arm off if you look like you blasphemed in some way. It's an evil demonic cult, really.
Well, they would have used, should they have established a caliphate long term, they would have used it as a launching ground for terror attacks across the country, across the world.
Right. Now they have to depend on Iran.
Right. Thank you. Depend on Iraq for what?
My pleasure, Tim. Thanks.
Iran. Okay. All right, Ray. Thank you. Thank you, Walker, Steve.
My pleasure.
Fred, Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, Sandy.
And Frank.
Frank and Brent around the controls for us today. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care.